What are the most important things you want to focus on in preparing for retirement? Today's podcast, we ask and answer the key questions as you transition toward retirement or are at the beginning of retirement. We begin right now.
And now, Money Matters USA with Fred Sage.
And you also need to work with your advisor to create multiple income streams.
You're at the right place for information every week regarding all the components of a successful retirement plan.
Asset allocation is really a driving force for how much your accounts are going to grow.
Fred Sade is a financial fiduciary and retirement specialist.
I have to put the client's interest ahead of my own pocketbook at all times. I must be able to justify why I'm making the recommendations.
Money Matters USA with Fred Sade. Fred Sade.
We're going to look at the economic landscape, what we need to be concerned about, how we need to position our retirement planning in light of everything that we're experiencing and the challenges. It's Money Matters USA with Fred Sade. Fred is the founder and managing director of the firm Money Matters USA, a fiduciary firm. Fred, a fiduciary and in the financial services industry for years, also holding a PhD in economics from Duke University, giving us his insights into the retirement arena and that sector of the financial universe. Fred, we do have a lot. We've experienced so much just in the last couple of years in the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been a very confusing time. I can't honestly say how many studies, posts, charts that I've looked at from different sources, academic, non-academic sources, and the opinions are all over the map. And some of the truisms, if you will, some of the tried and true that, you know, worked in the 40 years where we had low inflation, low growth, low wages, those things don't seem to be functioning properly. So, it's very interesting, this range of opinions, all of these arguments. Just over the weekend, read a couple of different papers published at the National Bureau of Economic Research, and then John Cochran had some interesting stuff. He writes a post called The Grumpy Economist. He's not grumpy, really, but he does have interesting stuff, and he's writing in reaction to at least one of the papers that was published by the National Bureau of Economic Research. So on it goes. Any point of view that you have, you can find somebody that's going to support you.
Yeah, well, exactly. It seems like it's like that in everything. I know that we're all concerned about it, and that Fidelity 2024 State of Retirement Planning study showed that Gen Xers and Boomers are concerned. The question, how did we get here? Let's hear from Maria Bartiromo, who explored the path that she believes led to the financial crisis. That was on her show on Fox Business.
This is bad policy. You've had interest rates at zero for 15 years. When you have such low interest rates, people want returns. They search for yield, and they search for yield in sometimes risky places. So bad policy, rates too low for too long, and then not even a year, we see rates go from zero to 4.5%.
Well, they did go up. Felt like the 70s again.
Yeah, it did.
Not as bad, but.
Well, you know, she's really onto something. I mean, it's a bigger explanation than what she's doing, but nevertheless, I happen to think she's correct based on what she indicated. We're sitting here with our industrial base exported overseas. We've had low wages. They persisted too long. We had a low activity economy, and you could then get away with these low interest rates. And that led to virtually no growth in the economy, and everything was moving along, and the Fed was real happy with its 2%, you know, target. But you have to look at what is the compound annual growth rate for the economy, for wages, you know, and for, you know, the stock market. And beyond that, within the economy, I mean, gradually over time, we became a services economy, and the chickens came home to roost, if I can use that phrase, mm-hmm. during a pandemic. And all of a sudden, we don't have what we need, whether it's the military supplies, military industries, whether it's prescription medications, the precursors are made in China or India. And right. all of a sudden, we have a lot of stimulus that's put into the economy, understandable, but now we've got too much money chasing too few goods. It's a classic definition of inflation. And, you know, there are people who are going to argue that Milton Friedman's ideas are passé. Meanwhile, Friedman is holding up pretty well as against some of the other arguments where, you know, debt doesn't matter, you can borrow forever, the economy will grow and handle it. And we are seeing the normal pattern of inflation right now, where you get a spurt, it levelizes, and you get another spurt, levelizes, you get another spurt. We're in the spurt right now. And the stock market is very, very narrow. I mean, basically, you know, it's artificial intelligence. It's driving the market. Handful of tech companies that are driving the market. If you take those aside, market's not doing anything. But that's where all the action is. So, you know, people are up against it. So I don't want to anticipate. I'll just wait and see who else we have on tap.
Well, we've got Fox News, Fox Business panelist David Asman weighing in on spending issues and the economic picture Americans are faced with.
The reason for inflation, it's not because of the corporations, as the president said the other day. It's not because of shrinkflation. Inflation is because the government is spending a lot more money than it has. We just got the figures of the past 4 months that we are in deficit. It's over $500 billion in just 4 months. You multiply that times three, you get an annual rate of a deficit of $1.6 trillion. So we are spending so much more money than we have.
How long can we keep doing that?
Well, that is a good question. If we get, I would say the tipping point's about 200% of GDP. That's normally where you are in the wheelbarrow, you know, stage where your money is so depreciated, it doesn't buy anything.
Wow.
Right now, it's still a hard thing to swallow when you go to the store and you look at what you bought. You know, when you're over 100, you spend $100 without blinking. And I live in a state where not only is gasoline prices high, but the governor just increased the tax on gasoline at the pump. And, you know, we've got tax increases here in New Jersey on business. We have real estate tax increases to support being a sanctuary state. And this comes on top of the continual stimulus that the federal government is doing. You know, the CARES Act, the terribly misnamed Inflation Reduction Act. I mean, we have stimulus after stimulus. The administration is, its proposed budget, which I assume is DOA, has about a $1.6, $1.8 trillion, you know, gap. And Maya McGuinness, and her organization, for a responsible federal government, she talks about the fact that the administration's supposed $3 trillion saving over 10 years is illusory, that there's no savings whatsoever. So this is a terrible situation, and the pressure is on the Federal Reserve. And there's only so much the Federal Reserve can do, because basically it's like you or I driving along, or our listeners driving along, one foot on the accelerator and the other foot on the brake. The accelerator is the fiscal spending, and the brake is the Federal Reserve. And how long can you go with that? I mean, you're either going to stop short and go through the windshield, you know, or you're going to burn out your brakes and hope for the best. And that's pretty much where we are.
Right. Yeah. Taking it to the average American, before we get to that and how we could deal with it, especially those nearing retirement, let's actually hear from former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer weighing in about the reality of the financial pressures that face the average American.
The American people aren't feeling it. You know, if you went grocery shopping and it cost you $50 4 years ago, and then $60, and then $65, and then $68, you know, it's not that inflation rate is going down. It's that the price of what you're paying keeps going up. And that's what the American people know and feel every time they go to a store.
Okay, so if we're either maybe in the financial red zone trying to save more, do catch-up contributions, or if we're in retirement, what do we do, Fred? How do we protect our retirement?
Well, the first thing you have to do, And I know I'm going to sound like a broken record, but the first thing you have to do is you need a budget. And you have to know how much you're spending and how much you're going to spend, and then have to see what your personal inflation rate is going to be. So your personal inflation rate may be below the 20% inflation increase that you have, you know, every time you go into the supermarket. And we have to start with the budget. Then we have to see, you know, how much money do we have? We do an analysis, and we have a moment of truth. And that is, do you need to work longer? Do you need to continue to work in order to generate more assets? We need the assets to generate income from, and we'll find out quickly enough what that is. The other issue that is of interest really to economists, and I always find it fascinating, you know, nobody else but economists cares about this, but we have to figure out what your average spend is going to be over your projected lifetime. Because that then is going to tell us, that's in other words, if we assume a 30-year life expectancy, which is not off the wall anymore, if we go out 30 years and then we need to figure that out, and we can do that on a present value basis, so that we have constant spending power, so we know how many dollars are going to be needed, and then we need a discount rate. What do you want to use? I'm using 3%, and I'm assuming a 5% real dollar rate, and that's going to allow me to figure out how much you're going to spend over your projected lifetime. Now, if you live 40 years, well, then I have to adjust it, don't I? But I'm assuming a 30-year expectancy. And once I know what that is, then I can figure out how I'm going to get there. And that's the thing that we have to figure out. And the next thing is we have to make sure that you don't lose your money. I mean, the Fiedler study, which was done for Allianz, and that has the famous conclusion that people are more afraid of running out of money than they are of dying. Mm-hmm. Now, we just had a Corebridge study that was published at the end of last week, excellent white paper, which picks up where the Allianz Fiedler study ends off, and it has people saying, yeah, I want to live to age 100. What do I have to do to get there? And so is that realistic? Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But, when you push out 30 years right now, you know, people want to argue with you. You push out 25 to 27, well, maybe they accept that. Well, maybe it's 40 years. Maybe we're very close to, you know, we can replace limbs right now. We can replace we can replace the heart.
Mm-hmm.
There may be other, and we can replace some other organs. So I don't know. I don't want to say that we're on the precipice of perpetual life, but it's not unrealistic to say, well, you know, maybe we're darn close to it.
It'll be a crowded Earth.
Well, yeah. So that's why this Corbridge study is very interesting, and it was taken. A number of people took note of it at the end of last week. So I you know, there are a number of things that we, you know, need to do, things that we need to look at in order to have a realistic approximation of where we are. I mean, one of the things that was not mentioned, and I find that this is a real issue, is overconfidence bias. People are overconfident that they have the solution, that they know what to do, and they only are trying to fit in a little piece of information, this or that, and they've got it licked. And that's a problem, because you only know what you know. You know what you don't know, but there's that whole universe of you don't know what you don't know. And
right.
And that becomes an enormous issue. People come in and they say, oh, I need to know something about Social Security. Well, Social Security is the key asset. I mean, there's nothing more important than Social Security. It requires planning. You need to understand what you're going to do with Social Security, how you're going to take it, what's the longevity that you're going to use. If you're married, you need to use joint life projection, not a single life. These are key. Everything else today is built on top of Social Security, unless you're fortunate and you have a defined benefit pension. And then the question today is relevant is whether or not you should take that pension, especially if it's a fixed pension, or whether or not you should look for take a lump sum distribution if that's possible, and look at what's available in the commercial space. Now, in a low interest rate environment, you were better off taking the company pension. In a high interest rate environment, that might not be the best solution, where we have commercial annuities for people where the payout rate is, 7, 8, 9%. 9.1% is for a 69-year-old, the payout rate is enormous. For a 75-year-old or a 72-year-old, it's beyond belief. It will beat the pension payout. And that going back to what Ari Fleischer was saying, it's a real conundrum with the 401k, and the, you know, Congress and some theoreticians want to turn the 401k, you know, into a Swiss Army knife, and it's not. I mean, they want it to do everything, and being a borrowing account, an emergency account, savings account, buy an annuity from it. I mean, it's going to be the universal solution. It is not a panacea, and I have some concerns about that. I do follow a publication called 401k Advisor, and I, you know, read the articles that are in there. And it does cause me concern that we want to use the 401k for about everything under the sun, and that's not the purpose of the 401k. So it comes back to the fact that, you know, that we've had low wages for so long, and with the inflation now, it becomes an enormous challenge to prep people for retirement, and that also requires Social Security reform. And the answer is not just to keep raising taxes, create donut holes, or any of these other things that have come up. And we've talked about them. You've raised some potential solutions, but Social Security reform is something that we really have to look at, and the Australians are looking at it once again because they have a different system than we do, similar to the Canadian system. But nobody has come up with a good solution. And the in my opinion, we do have to restart an industrial base and build off that base. It's not a matter of necessarily going back to the way it was in 1930, but we have so many conflicts, in our public policy and different points of view. It's a real challenge. That's why our politics are so polarized. Some of these issues become political issues, and all of a sudden, we're asking our Supreme Court to do the heavy lifting. But that is characteristic of the American separation of power system. The key issues of the day are never decided in the political system. They're always decided by the Supreme Court, for good or for bad.
Well, a lot to consider. And of course, you know, it's of national concern, but we always think about how it affects us. Of course, we have to protect ourselves, and retirement planning, if you're near retirement, can certainly help with that. And that's Fred's goal, is help to take a lot of the worry out of your retirement. So we're going to give you some information on how to reach out to Fred wherever you are. And then I'll come back with some other information on Fred's website, how you can hear the other podcast, schedule with him that way, even submit a Stump the Guru question. It's all coming up on Money Matters USA.
Hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, and fire. These are serious situations that we plan in advance for. The volatility of the market can be just as devastating. Get a plan meant to last, properly balanced, fully customized. That way, when a market correction does occur, you'll be ready. Call Fred Sade at 800-593-8188. That's 800-593-8188.
Back with Money Matters USA. And yeah, that is a way to reach out to Fred, 800-593-8188. If you want to sit down with someone who years of experience, wisdom, knowledge of the retirement universe, and talk about you with him. Another way is moneymattersusa.net, his website. If you go to the website, be sure to click the Red Light Program tab and learn about the Red Light on the Dashboard Program. Click that podcast tab and instant availability there with the podcast. You can read the description on the other 136 episodes of Money Matters USA. And there on the podcast tab, you'll see where you can submit a question for Stump the Guru. Stump Fred, and you could end up with a prize. All of that at moneymattersusa.net. We're going to cover now some questions, good questions to ask of yourself, or better yet, to ask of Fred as you approach retirement. So we'll just run through all of these. Here's the first one, and it's a good one to ask. What is my average annual return for the past 1, 3, and 5 years?
Well, that is vitally important, because if you are not yet retired, first of all, part of your return is the money that you are putting into whatever the fund is, whether it's 401k, whether it's a IRA, whatever it might be. So you have to subtract out. That's what my first question is. The return you're telling me you got, does it include your contributions? 99% of the time, the answer is yes. Okay, so subtract out your contributions, and now let's talk about what your net is. Now, the measurement is very simple. What'd you start with? What was it? And right now, what is it right now? And subtract out your contributions, and what's the answer? Well, that's going to give you a number, and then we can just adjust for the time value, and we can get to the return. Now, the only return that's relevant is a geometric return, and an arithmetic return is misleading, because it's linear. the geometric return accounts for volatility, and the market does go up and down, up and down, up and down in a way that is unpredictable. So you don't know what the market is going to do on any given day, and you don't know what it's going to do the following day. So, you know, unless you are really aggressive and you want to use these new indexes that are very short duration, I mean, you can invest in an index for the next 60 minutes. If you hit it right, you can make a lot of money. The Wall Street Journal had an article, I don't know if it was in the digital edition because that's my subscription, but one of their employees did, and she got a 233% return on one of these day indexes where she invested for a few hours. Now, is that typical? No, but she did. She did do, very well. So the point is, you need to know what your return is, and that's the starting point. You know, because remember, your advisor is not your buddy. I mean, just because they remember your birthday or your wife's name, you know, or they play golf with you once a year, they're not your pal. You need to know what is the return that you're actually getting on your money. This is relevant both pre and post retirement, but in pre-retirement, you can afford to take more risk depending on your age. In other words, if you're 40 years old and you lose everything, it's not the end of the world. If you're 70 years old and you lose everything, your life as you know it has just come to an end, and you are dependent on Social Security. So it makes an enormous difference in order to understand where you are. Let me point out one other thing, because I've trained thousands of advisors when I was a principal consultant. And the typical pitch that most guys, come with me and I'll get you 50 basis points more. Why do you want to work with that person? Well, I got a hot flash for you. The long-term, on a long-term basis, there's no more than one percentage point difference on all mutual funds over the long haul. So we're not talking about short duration, for 30 days, 60 days, a year, or 60 minutes. We're talking long-term, 10 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. The only difference is one percentage point. So that spiel really doesn't amount to very much, because there's not much difference. It's one percentage point divided by the number of years. So figure it out. You know, you can do your own calculation. But my point is, it doesn't matter very much.
Well, in looking at how you work with people to look ahead and also use historical data and take that into context, what is the appropriate benchmark for my portfolio, and have I done better or worse than my benchmark?
Well, that's an interesting question. We use all sorts of managed portfolios that limit your downside and also limit you a bit on the upside. But the point is, you cannot afford to, go to Las Vegas and shoot craps and lose. And you can't look at the market as a casino. So we want to limit losses for retirees or pre-retirees that are really close to retirement. For us, the magic is 5 to 10%, and we want to get close to 5% loss as it is possible to get, because the recovery is very, very short. So it really depends upon your risk tolerance and your risk capacity, and those are measurable, and then we can figure out from there what the portfolios need to be. And if you want to take more risk on your own, there's no reason why you can't self-manage some of your own assets. I mean, if you have a particular stock, a mutual fund, or exchange-traded fund, or some commodity that you are really excited about, manage it yourself. If you got a winner there, you won the lottery, that's great. You have nobody to blame but yourself, and you can take all the credit. On the other hand, if you crap out, like being in Las Vegas, you can't blame me. You managed it. So that's what we would, suggest. We construct different types of portfolios, and then you can select. The thing that we do not do is we don't create these managed portfolios that have 254 different stocks, ETFs, treasuries, and all these other things that are just impossible to figure out what it is that this person has done. And we can't even load those into the software. It's just ridiculous. You as the customer, the buyer, have no idea how to manage that. You throw up your hand and say, well, I assume that they're doing a good job, but you don't know that. And there's just no way that we can manage that for you, and have no interest in managing it. So what we would do is, Yale University has a theory called dominating funds. Some people disagree with it, but we use it, and we'll just take the positions that are dominating, and we'll analyze that in the portfolio, and we can measure that. And we want to look backward, but we also want to look forward, and forward is the use of scenario analysis. Realistic scenarios, not hypotheticals, realistic scenarios will give us a good measurement of how much risk is involved. I mean, if you have a traditional 60-40 portfolio, you have about a 34% risk of loss. If you've got a 70-30, it goes up to about 44-48% risk of loss. Now, that may be okay if you're 45. It may not be acceptable to you if you're, you know, 62, 63, whatever it is, trending toward retirement. So it's imperative that we get and what we try to do, and what we do is get our arms around risk. Risk management is the absolute necessity, because we need to manage risk, we need to manage loss. And that is absolutely essential in figuring out how much income we can generate above and beyond Social Security.
A couple of more good questions here to ask of yourself and the person you're working with. This is more the person you're working with, really. And I know a lot of times, Fred, you can, when you first meet with someone, you can identify this many times, much to their shock and surprise. How much exactly am I paying in fees each year, and is it worth it?
Yeah, that is right on. And in our analysis, we show the average advisor, not counting the advisor's fee, anywhere from 1 to 1.25, 1.5 percent. The average expense factor is anywhere from 3.5 to 4.5 to 5% plus the advisor's one plus fee. So most people have no conception of what they are paying, nor do they understand how these fees are constructed, the trading costs, non-productive money that has to be available in the money market account, the back-end trading costs that are inherent in the expenses that the fund is generating. Most people don't read the prospectus line by line by line. Again, we have software that can see into the fund, if I can put it that way, and see what all of the costs are. And we assume about 0.85% of your assets are lost because of the fact that there's money has to, from the fund's perspective, money has to sit there idle because they have redemptions every day, and they have to have money on hand to meet those redemptions. So again, I'll conclude where I started. Most people haven't the foggiest idea how much they are spending, what it's costing them. And when we do the analysis, I mean, it's priceless to see the shock on people's face when we show them what they are actually spending and paying, and how that is impacting their costs. I mean, the two keys on investing is tax costs and fees. And if you can reduce tax costs and reduce fees, then you've got something that is very, very significant because you're increasing the earnings, the alpha, the earnings that the portfolio will receive. And you can do that very consistently, more consistently than performance in the market. Controlling those two can be done. You can't time. You cannot time the market. It's impossible. It cannot be done.
Well, finally, am I 100% certain that I'm doing the best that I can with the resources that I have? Well, I know your fiduciary and custom approach can help answer that question.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we go through a very involved process. I have to tell you, we are not for everyone. I mean, if you know, a typical advisor is going to have three meetings with you. First meeting, give you the information. Second meeting, here's the plan. Third meeting, move the funds. We guarantee that we will have a minimum of 5 to 6 meetings. We do it in writing. If you need more than that, we will give you whatever you need so you're comfortable with the plan. And we look at all of the issues that are involved: taxes, fees, risk management, volatility, income, survivorship, legacy. If you want that, or if you want to just increase your spending, mortality analysis, all of these things. We have a very comprehensive approach. Our software is very powerful, and we can look at variable spending, which is really important in understanding how people actually function in retirement. So these are the things that need to be done. Now, if you've worked with an advisor, you're convinced that the advisor has your best interest at heart. Why don't you find out whether or not everybody can benefit from a fresh set of eyes, doing an analysis, and having conversations that you're not having with your current advisor. And the software that we use is not used by most advisors. I mean, the software that we use tends to be software that's used really for the super wealthy and get the benefit of this analysis which we provide. Let me just honestly say there are three types of advisors. If you are happy with the least cost advisor, nobody can beat them because that's their game. But they don't cover a lot of things. There are a lot of add-ons. So if you want additional services, they charge you a la carte. But if price is your only object, then go with the lowest cost producer, because they do what they do. Nobody can get under their price. They won't let you get under their price, but they don't give you a full menu of services. Then there's a middle type, which gives you more services. For example, they may have an 800 number which you can reach. The first guy does not. You only get there by email, and they have a few more services. But still, if you want more services, you have to pay a la carte. And then there's us. We are not the least costly producer. We are aware of what we just said, that we need to control fees and expenses, and we will do that through how we create everything for you. But we don't have a bunch of add-ons, so we're not the least expensive, but we're not going to nick you to death with add-ons. From us, you're going to get white glove service, the type that the way you would want to be treated. We will treat you the way we would treat my mother, my favorite aunt, my grandmother. We treat you like a member of our family, and you get that kind of treatment from us. When we conclude with you, when you are satisfied that you understand your plan, that it is your plan, that you can manage and control your money, that your money is doing exactly what you want it to do, and not what some advisor or somebody else at the water cooler, real or virtual, told you is that they're doing. It's totally irrelevant. So this is what we provide. You want to try us? Take the first step. give us a call on our toll-free number, and we'll spend half an hour speaking with you. We'll see if you are somebody that we could or should work with, and you can decide if you want to work with us. We will spend, at a minimum, about 60 hours on anybody that we work with to become a client. That's face-to-face, telephone, back office time, software time, revisions, meetings, revisions, revisions, until we get it exactly where you want. And then if we're moving some of your money, then we're going to do that. The worst thing that you can possibly do is have multiple advisors. Even if you don't pick us, don't have three advisors. Don't have two advisors. Don't split. You're not Solomon. Don't split the baby in half.
Yeah, it's like having three dentists. Yeah, I like that no-nonsense approach you described, though, Fred, and not having to worry about upselling and add-ons and everything like that. And it's a fiduciary approach as well. 800-593-8188, 800-593-8188. And wherever you are listening to the podcast, just you can call and work out how to meet with Fred in that initial meeting, 800-593-8188. Another way to set this up is at moneymattersusa.net. Of course, you can learn about the Red Light on the Dashboard program, which is another part of that process with Fred. And there's an explanation on that. Learn more about that. Click the Red Light program tab. Click the podcast tab and just scroll through at your leisure the other 136 podcasts. And also, you can stump the guru there. You'll see how to do that. Submit a question to Fred for the show. And if it's a technical or official stump he declares, you get compensated. All of that is at moneymattersusa.net. And as always, thanks so much for joining us on podcast number 137. We'll keep it going every Friday for Money Matters USA.
Investment advisory services offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. Fred Sade and his guests provide general information, not individually targeted personalized advice, and are not liable for the usage of information discussed. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell in any of these financial vehicles. This information should also not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with a professional specializing in the fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate, and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to the securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. By contacting Money Matters USA, you may be provided information regarding the purchase of insurance products.